Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1. Acts chapter 9, verse number 1 this morning. Let's read the Word of God. The Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," okay, talking about any Christians, anybody that worshipped Jesus Christ, anybody that served the Lord, anybody that was preaching, anybody that was gathered in a local church, just like we are this morning, if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he trembling, talking about Saul, and he trembling and astonished said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, and go into the city, go to Damascus where you're going, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blind. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Verse number 9, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. If you would go back to verse number 5 with me again this morning. The Bible says, "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." This phrase right here at the end of the verse, it says, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." This morning I want to bring a message this morning entitled, "Kicking Against the Pricks." Let's pray. Father, we do ask you again to meet with us. I pray, God, that you would take your word. And Lord, through your word, through the Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts. And God, I pray that you'd do a work in our hearts that, God, only you can do. I don't stand up here as only as your messenger to deliver your word. And God, I cannot do anything without you. And I don't go beyond your bounds. So Lord, you do a work this morning in my heart. And these that have gathered here, we need your word. We need your strengthening. We need your power. And I pray, God, for that this morning. Please bless as only you can. And then God, I pray that you'd be with our pastor. Lord, give him power and unction of the Spirit to preach and to do the same thing that we're doing here this morning. And God, allow him allow your word to make a difference there in the church that he's at this morning. So please, God, meet with us and we'll be thanking you for it. We'll be rejoicing, just what you do this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we read the verse, it is hard for thee. Jesus is telling Paul, or Saul at this time, his name was Saul, was telling Saul a simple fact that it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. This is a statement that Jesus made to him as Jesus confronted Saul for his ungodly, unprecedented persecution against Christians, against their churches, and against Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said, "You are persecuting me. You're not just taking my men and my people and persecuting them. You are persecuting Jesus. You're persecuting me." And he, as Saul went around from city to city persecuting those that were found of this way, of this Bible way, Jesus had to confront him and had to stop him on the road to Damascus and said, "Why persecutest thou me? Saul's hatred and his unbelief for the way of Christ. He hated the very reputation, the very glory, the very miracles that Jesus was doing while he was here on earth. He hated even more that his disciples were going and proclaiming and preaching salvation and preaching healing and preaching just that Jesus is the only way. He hated it. And he did not believe it. And his hatred and his unbelief for the way of Christ, for his followers, his disciples, and for the preaching of the cross, and his hatred for Christ as the only salvation, and his hatred for the undying faith that he saw in these believers as he persecuted them, that drove him to persecute to the very fullest extent in his human power to end this movement that was going on, to end what was happening there in Jerusalem and the region around. He wanted to end it. He wanted to annihilate it. He wanted to stop it cold in its tracks. What was Saul kicking against? What and who was Saul kicking against? And we've got a inside to it in having the Bible. We know who that was. He was kicking against Jesus himself. He was kicking against the Holy Spirit. He was kicking against God. He did not want any of that in his life. What were the pricks that this verse is talking about? It says, it is hard for thee not only to kick against, not only to fight against, but to kick against the pricks. What were the pricks that he was kicking against? Jesus said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Hey, you know what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 15? The Bible says, the way of transgressors is hard. It's hard being a sinner. It's hard being lost and condemned and on your way to hell. It's hard. There, you feel as there's no hope. You feel as there's no way out. You feel as everything is all against you. Even if things are going for you, even if you have money, even if you have things of this world, you still feel as though it's not right and it's not perfect and it's not good. It's hard being a transgressor. There's problems with sin. There's problems being a sinner. There's problems with just this sinful nature and this sinful condition that man is in of his own choosing. It's hard. Anybody comes up to you and says, oh man, I'm loving it being stealing and gambling and drinking and smoking and drugging and clubbing and all those things. Man, it's so easy. No, it's not easy. It's hard because sin brings problems. Sin nature and sinful thoughts, it's hard being a sinner. Let me tell you, it's so much easier being a Christian. It's so much easier being a child of God. It's so much easier knowing Christ and knowing His Word and knowing Him in a personal, real relationship. It's so much easier, but it's hard being a Christian. That's why I believe Jesus said it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Jesus used this farming term when He was talking to Saul. He used the example of a farmer going and leading livestock, whether it be oxen or donkeys. Come here, Elias. Come here, Ethan. Come here this morning. I need your help this morning, all right? I got my two oxen up here this morning, all right? Y'all stand, face that wall right there. Stand side by side as two. or do y'all want to be donkeys this morning? Which one, oxen or donkeys? No, I'm just kidding. But as this farmer had the reins and had his livestock in front of him, and as he was plowing a field, or as he was pulling a wagon, or doing something there that involved two livestock, whatever animals they would be, and as he was leading them with the reins, if those livestock got down and started eating the grass, or started to separate, or started to fight amongst themselves, that farmer would take a prodding stick and he would jab them right there in the backside. I had Elias sharpen this for me tomorrow, so I'm trying it out on him. How's it feel? Did you sharpen it pretty good? Huh? Did you get it? But he would take his prodding stick. He would take this long stick that had a point at the end, and he would prod his oxen or his livestock to get them to go in the right direction, to keep them plowing in the right way, so that they didn't mess up the fields, they didn't mess up the planting rows that they were digging out at that time. And if they went too fast, he would pull back on the rein and he would prod them. If they were going too slow, he would give them a good giddy up, and he would prod them with this stick. And as this farmer would do that, you could just see some of the donkeys or some of the oxen, and as he would prod them, they'd begin to kick their legs back. Go ahead. No, I'm just kidding. But they'd begin to kick their legs and kick at those pricks that farmer was giving them in the back. And they would kick it. What would that show a sign of? That'd be a sign of, ouch, don't do that. Or ouch, that hurts. Or I don't like that. And they would kick at the pricks. You two can be seated. Thank you. That's what Jesus was referring to here in Acts chapter 9. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That means that Saul was getting pricked. He was getting pricked by the Holy Spirit and Jesus Himself. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Jesus was saying, Saul, you're kicking every time you're kicking at me. You're kicking against the pricks. I know you don't like it, but Saul, I'm doing it for your own good. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I'm trying to point you in the right direction. I'm trying to turn you around. You're going the wrong way, Saul. You're persecuting my people. You're killing my men and women. You may be thinking you're advancing your own self-will, but you're persecuting my way and my plan and my things. So many of us and so many people today are just like Saul. They're just like this story right here in the Bible. This real true story here in the Bible. They're just like him when he was kicking against the pricks of the Holy Spirit, as he dealt with his heart concerning, and as God deals with their hearts concerning the direction and His will in their lives. They're kicking against it. They're saying, Lord, I don't want that. God, quit poking me. And they're responding incorrect to the pricks. See, that farmer was only trying to keep the oxen in line. He was only trying to keep them at the right pace. He was only trying to get them to do what he was in control doing. Not have them in control, but have the farmer, the shepherd, the one that was holding the reins in control. And they would kick against those pricks. And they would refuse or out of rebellion resist the pricks. So the farmer, next time if they kicked against them and they still didn't straighten up, guess what? Gave them another prick. Maybe even a little harder this time. Maybe even a little deeper that time. to get their attention, to get their understanding, to get them to realize some things in their lives. So many times we've seen people, and I've done it in my life, I've kicked back at God, and I've kicked back at His Word, and I've dismissed the invitation that He was giving me to come to Christ. I've avoided His presence so many times because I was kicking back at the pricks of God's Word and of God's Holy Spirit. Those pricks would cause me to want to run away from His urging and from His presence and from His inviting and from His just wanting me as one of His children. I would kick back at Him. The pricks would cause me, and they've caused others, to rebel against His goodness and to rebel against God's blessings because they responded wrong to the pricks that God was giving them. We see Saul in this passage. He was responding incorrectly against the pricks that God was giving him. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29, the Bible says, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, and at mine offering which I have commanded in my habitation." God's had people kick at Him, had people refuse Him, had people resist Him, had people deny Him, had people run away from Him because they can't stand the pricks. It makes them uncomfortable. It hurts them. But yet they don't turn to see what God's doing. I want to bring some areas in our life that we can find ourselves in the same situation as Saul was when he was kicking against the pricks. First of all, I want to talk to you about this morning the prick of conviction. When God's Holy Spirit uses His Word to prick our hearts. See, instead of pricking us in our backside, I believe that God pricks us right here. In our heart. Because this is where God deals with us. This is where God changes us. This is where God gets a hold of us. Is right here in our heart. Not our fleshly boom, 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 boom. Not that fleshly thing right there. But our heart. Our heart that He deals with and He gets a hold of. And He pricks our hearts with His Word and with His Holy Spirit. And the conviction of those pricks will drive men either to turn to Christ, or if they keep dismissing it, they'll be just like that old stubborn oxen, and they'll just keep kicking at it. They'll keep kicking at it. They'll keep running from it. They'll just do all they can to get away from it, and they won't deal with the issue that God's dealing with them. Conviction. Conviction is not found in the Bible. Convicted is one time in John, in the book of John. But conviction is that term that we use describing the way that God works on our hearts. And I'll show you here in just a minute the other terms that the Bible uses. But conviction is when you just feel the prick of God, the Word of God just penetrating your heart, and the Holy Spirit of God working on you to do something in your life, and it gets a hold of you. And it's a prick. It gets your attention. I believe this is where it all started for Saul. Because I believe that the Holy Spirit conviction will lead you and can lead you to conversion. Or to your salvation. God will convict you. God will get a hold of your heart for your need for Christ. And because of your sin that you cannot go to heaven all on your own, He'll convict you of your sinful condition and that you're on your way to hell without Christ. And He'll convict you of that. And He'll work in your heart, and that'll lead you to converting, to salvation, to turn into Christ, saying, "Lord, I ask You to save me. I ask You to give me eternal life through Jesus Christ, Your Son." Conviction is the act of proving that a person is guilty of a crime in a court of law. You always hear, I was convicted of this and that. I was convicted on the basis of this and that. So it's the act of proving that a person is guilty of a crime. A conviction is a strong belief or an opinion that somebody has. A conviction is the feeling and the knowing for sure that what you believe or what you say is true. I got a firm conviction that Jesus is the Son of God. Nobody's going to change that because I believe that. And that's the truth because I got it from the Bible. That's a conviction. It's the act of convincing a person of error or compelling the admission of truth. Being convinced or of error and admitting the truth. The Holy Spirit comes to you and He convicts you. He convinces you that you're lost and you're undone. You've broken God's word. You've failed the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, for all have come short of the glory of God. And He tells you that you can't make it to heaven on your own because of sin. And He convinces you that He uses the Word of God to convince you that you cannot see heaven, you cannot obtain eternal life, but only through Jesus Christ. So He convinces you of your error and shows you the truth. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only way. Now I believe this is where what Saul was dealing with. This is what the pricks were against Saul, because you see two and three chapters before this, chapter number 9, Saul heard and he heard the Stephen preaching. He heard the man of God open his mouth and preach the word from Abraham all the way down to Jesus. Saul sat in the council listening, and the Bible says that they beheld the face of Stephen as if it had been the face of an angel. I believe that conviction started in Saul's heart right there with the preaching that Stephen was doing about Jesus being the very Christ, Jesus being the only way of salvation, and God began to prick Saul's heart. I believe that as Saul was persecuting men and women and children, as he went up and he grabbed them and he slung them to the ground and he took them to prison and even killed them there, as they called upon God, as they prayed, as they didn't deny Christ. Oh God, they didn't deny Christ. They were praising God. They were thanking God. They were probably telling Saul how to get saved. They were telling him, Saul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And God was pricking him right here in the heart. The pricks of conviction. The pricks of conviction. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I've sat in church service after church service, and the pricks of conviction of the Holy Spirit working on my heart, and me in my ignorant, in just my self-righteous spot, not turning to Christ. As he was pricking my heart, I was kicking against him. I've already done that. I've already made a profession. But God kept pricking my heart. Conviction, conviction, conviction. It is hard for thee, Saul, Saul. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So I had to come to the Damascus Road and knock you off your horse. Get you to say, who art thou, Lord? Because you're kicking against the pricks. You're still going persecuting my people. You're still causing havoc in the church. You're still trying to destroy my work. And you're not giving in to the pricks of the Holy Spirit. Saul did not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He did not believe that Jesus is or was the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, the atonement for his sin. Saul's beliefs were so defiled by his traditions, by his spiritual rituals that he grew up in, by his self-righteous religion, that he believed Jesus and his followers were a bunch of fanatics and just a rebellion against the Jewish Old Testament. That's what he believed. That's what he was convinced of before Jesus began pricking him in his heart. And that conviction led to him just taking it out and in a rage taking it out on his people. Listen to what conviction has done to others. Conviction where God was pricking the hearts. Acts chapter 6. Turn to Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7 and read with me there. The Bible says, Acts chapter 6, verse number 7, "And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." And then skip down to verse number 15, the Bible says in verse number 15, "And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." That's what I was telling you just a few minutes ago, is that I believe that his conviction started much earlier than this Damascus Road experience right here. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 37, the Bible says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts." Now when they heard, not you'll be blessed if you give to my ministry, not if you do good, you're okay, not if you want to be rich, you know, do this and do that. No. Not any of that. When they heard Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven, that their sinful condition was going to take them to hell, that conviction pricked their heart. Acts chapter 5, verse 33, the Bible says, "And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart." They were cut to the heart. Other words for conviction in the book of Acts. They were cut to the heart. Psalms chapter 73 and verse 21, the Bible says, "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins." The reins is what controls an animal. "And I was pricked," David said, "I was pricked in my reins." God's word was convicting me. I was convicted. The pricks of conviction come through the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, the Bible says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Why do we get up here and we preach the Word of God? Because it's the Word of God that has power to get into your heart, Anthony. I can't just get in your face and I can slobber, and I can scream, and I can tell you what to do, but it's going to be that Word of God that comes and pierces, gets much further than any of my words can, much further than man can get, and God's Word will do a work in your heart. Amen. Because it gets down to the joints and the marrow. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void or empty or useless." God's word goes out and it will not return void. It will not just end. The Bible says, "It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." Be careful of these things you might see on TV, the Bible miniseries that's going on and all that, where they don't put in the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God, and they just say flowery statements and they do nice things and all that. Hey, that's not the Word of God that's going to pierce your heart. That's not the Word of God that's going to prick your heart. The Word of God is being under Bible preaching, Bible teaching, to where God's Word does the work. Amen. Brother Fogg is a man of God. Brother Fogg, I highly respect Brother Fogg. I love him and his family, and he does just a great, wonderful job. But it's not Brother Fogg that is gonna change you. It's Jesus Christ and His Word that will change you. It's not me that's going to change you. It's God's Word because God's word will not return void. Now, we're the instruments God uses. We're the hammer and the tools and the, whatever God needs is what we are, but it's God's word that will do a work in your heart. Psalms 19 verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Conviction brings a conversion through the Word of God. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit of God to convict you of your sinful condition, to lead you to repent and turn around and go to Jesus. Turn to Jesus for salvation. Conviction is the bright light from God's Holy Spirit, God's Holy Word, the Word of God that manifests our sin, that reveals our sin, and shines the light on Jesus Christ. See, if you don't have that, if you don't have that Holy Spirit convicting you of sin, it's hard to turn to Jesus without that conviction. God convicts you. He makes you realize that you need Him.
Amen.
That you have need of salvation. That's what God uses, Holy Spirit. Oh, but I've seen so many wrong responses. I've seen people kick at the conviction of the Holy Spirit to be saved. I've seen them get up and walk out of church services. I've seen them fidget around I've seen them just sit there as staunch as they could and walk out without being saved. I know in their hearts of hearts, because I've sat there before, and God's dealt with them. God's dealt with them, and they leave without being saved because they've kicked at the pricks of salvation. There's a right response and there's a wrong response. And God was trying to get Saul to realize, hey, you need to respond correctly to the pricks. The right response to the pricks of conviction are this. Acts chapter 2 verse 37. I read the first part, but I didn't read the second part. The Bible says, now when they heard this, when they heard the word of God, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's the right response. When God deals with your heart, you say, Lord, what shall I do? Not, Lord, I got to get out of here, man. It's 12 o'clock. I got to get out of here. We got things to do today and kick against the pricks. No, it's, Lord, what do I need to do? What shall we do? And Peter, right after this, said, you need to repent and be baptized. Repentance is turning to Jesus Christ, believing on Him, calling upon Him for your salvation. That's the right response. The wrong response is all those that I've mentioned, is getting away, trying to dismiss it, trying to get out of it, trying to resist it, running and avoiding the truth that God is showing to you. You never know when that truth may end. You never know when that conviction may end. You never know when your last time will be to repent and to turn to Jesus Christ. Don't kick at the pricks. Don't run from God. Don't resist His saving grace. Don't say you'll get saved later. Don't hope the preacher will quit preaching and inviting you to be saved. Don't walk out during the invitation. Respond to Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Trust Him completely for your salvation. Trust Him. Saul was kicking against the pricks as a lost man. But you know what? Not only do lost men kick at the pricks of conviction, saved children of God, servants of God, can also kick at the pricks. Why do we come back on Sunday nights? Why should you come back on Sunday nights? Why should you be here on Wednesday nights? Because the preaching and the teaching of God's Word will lead you to becoming more like Christ. And the way He does that is uses His words to build you, to strengthen you, to empower you, to add to your life, to take away things out of your life that aren't supposed to be there. But I've seen a lot of Christians kicking at that prick. They're kicking just as much as a lost person kicks against the pricks of conviction of salvation. I've seen saved people kick against the pricks of correction. They've kicked against the correction that God is trying to make in their lives. That God is trying to mold them and shape them into the image of Christ. And they kick at those pricks. The prick of correction is just as much a part of a Christian's life as a prick of conviction is to the sinner that needs to be saved. Because God uses the preaching and the power of His Word to show His child and His children the error of their ways and to get them to either change, either get right. And He uses the correction. What I'm talking about correction is He uses the Holy Spirit to convict His children and corrects them, disciplines them, spanks them, brings them back in the line, and changes their behavior. Oh, have you ever felt, first of all, have you ever felt the pricking of conviction of salvation? Oh, I did. I felt it. I knew it. As His child, you felt the pricks of correction to where God was, son, daughter, get in line. Amen. Discipline is not fun. It's not my funnest time to discipline my children, but it's needed. Amen. Any parent knows that. It's not fun, but it's needed. And what are we doing? We just spanking our children to be mean to them? No. Showing them the error of their way. This is wrong. You've done wrong. This is what is right. Because you've done wrong, I'm going to have to spank you to show you that it was wrong. Now go and do right so that you don't get any more spankings. That's correction. That's what God does to us as our Heavenly Father. He convicts us and He corrects us. But so many times we kick at that correction. We kick at that prick. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. It's profitable. The Word of God is used to correct us. Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, "My son, despise not, don't kick against the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction, for whom the Lord loveth, He loves you. He cares for you. If He did not love you, He would not correct you. For whom the Lord loves, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 11. I'm only going to read two verses, but it says, "My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." Don't run off. Just because God corrects you, "Oh, I'm never going back to that church. That preacher is mean. He's ugly. He's this and that. He talked about my this and my that. And I'm just not ever going back there." That's growing weary, and that's despising the chastening of the Lord. God uses His Word, His man, His message to correct His children.
Amen.
He'll use your daily Bible reading and your prayer to correct you and to keep you in that right path. "Nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son when he receive, whom He receiveth." Hey, that's not just a, don't do that. No, that's a scourgeth is when God gets a hold of you and He convicts you and He's working on you. But I've seen so many people kick against that. And then I've seen so many people kick against the pricks of His calling. His calling. Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit. My burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." His calling, "Come unto me. Come unto me, ye that are saved." Hey, there's much more to do than just to come Sunday mornings and barely make it through it. Oh man. Especially when Brother Derek's preaching, barely make it through it. No, there's much more than that. We can go out soul winning. We can go out and tell others about Christ. We can go out helping the Sunday school class. We can help on the van routes. We can clean the church. We can be a part of this ministry. And don't despise, don't kick at His calling. If God's calling you in the full-time service, wants you to be a preacher, wants you to be a missionary, wants you to be an evangelist, wants you to serve Him for the rest of your life, don't kick against it, Anthony. Don't kick. Because God's going to prick you. But that prick, you may say, okay. All right. I've called you and you didn't listen. I've called you and you responded wrong to my calling. He'll prick you about this service. He'll prick you about your standards and your separation from this world. The prickings come to do certain things for Him and not to do certain things for this world. The calling of sacrifice, the calling of soul winning. As a child of God and a saved person, God calls you and He uses those pricks. Don't kick against it. Don't kick against it. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So let me ask you this morning as we end. Has Jesus had to tell you the same thing that He had to tell Saul here in Acts chapter 9? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard. Don't you realize it's so much easier to say, "Yes, Lord." It's so much easier to get saved than to keep kicking God dealing with your heart about not being saved and not knowing for sure that you're going to heaven. It's so much easier to say, "God, I've got to be saved. I ask You to save me and I turn to Jesus for my salvation. I'm tired of kicking against the pricks and I want to get saved this morning." Don't you realize it's hard, Christian? It's hard to kick against the pricks when He's correcting you. Don't run away. Don't get out of church. Don't just say, "I'm done with it. It's over. I can't stand it anymore." Don't do that. Just say, "Yes, Lord. I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to do any of those things anymore." Because You're correcting me and You're poking me and You're pricking me and I'm done with it. I just want to do what You want me to do. Not my will, but Thine, Lord.
Amen.
And His pricks of calling. Is He calling you? Is He calling you to preach? Is He calling you to go soul winning? Is He calling you to serve here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church? You won't regret it. Say yes. "Lord, I'll do whatever You want." The pricks of salvation. Respond correctly this morning. You saw how long it took Saul to respond correctly. He was kicking. Don't kick anymore. Stop being the stubborn mule and the stubborn ox that I once was. Don't kick it anymore. Fall in line and do what God's pricking you about. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed.